The Mishnah at the beginning of Pesachim and of Beis points out that the night of the 14th, the night before the Seder, is a chiyuv of bedikas chametz l'or haner. You have to be bodek as a chametz l'or haner at night. Why is it necessary to do bedikas chametz? So first of all, a person is not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, but also we're afraid that you might come to eat the chametz. So you want to make sure there's no chametz in your property, even if you're going to be mevatel the chametz. So you're not going to be over on that chametz. You're not owning anything if you're mevatelin. But the problem is that you might come to eat it. Shema yimtza gluskia yofa, says the Gemara. Maybe you'll find a Cheerio. You'll find a nice piece of chametz, a pretzel or something. It happens. It happens every year somewhere. Right? Someone, one of the kids finds a pretzel, cholamoid, pretzel that they hid because, you know, they took it illegally. Right? They took a pretzel and, mommy and Abba were coming, so they hid it. Hit it, but they forgot that they hit it. Right, so the problem is you might find a pretzel, you might find a Cheerio. So that's why you have to do bedikas chametz, to make sure that you check in all the places, all of the charim stakim, all the different nooks and crannies. We're not looking for pirurim. The post can point out from the Gemara, we're not looking for crumbs. Crumbs are bottle. Even if you're not mevatel the pirurim, they're bottle me'aleim. It's not a problem of pirurim. They're lo chashivi. The problem is shema yimtza gluski or yofa. Maybe you'll find a piece of chametz that you'll be chozabo on the bittel. You'll say to yourself that Cheerios. You'll forget it's Pesach and you might come to eat the Cheerio. You might come to eat the pretzel. That's the problem. So that's why we're going to be bodek. Going to be bodek before the yomtiv. The Mishnah says that you're bodek leor haner. So the Gemara says that you're supposed to use a ner, a candle, and not an avuka, not a torch, because we're afraid you won't go into the Charam Mustakim, you won't go into the nooks and crannies with the torch, because you're afraid you'll burn down your house. Rabbi Willig points out, Bizman Azeh, since we don't really use fire too much for light, it's probably better not to use the Or Haner either, right? Even though that's the kit, right? The kit comes from the yeshivas with the candle and the wooden spoon. I don't know, this is a halachal mosh, we've seen it, if you have to use a wooden spoon for Chafidikas Chametz, I'm not sure where that comes from. And a feather, of course, right? The feather to get the crumbs, or to tickle your brother's ear, whatever it is, it comes with the kit, right? And they send the candle with the kit also, but maybe it's better not to use the candle, right? Some use the candle. There's a reference in the Gemara that Ba'isahia Chapis as Yerushalayim Baneros. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says the chippus of Yerushalayim ultimately is going to be done Baner. So that's Laor Haner. So as a dimyon, we try to do B'dikas Chametz Laor Haner too. So maybe you could start with a little bit of an air and then transfer to the flashlight. Better to use the flashlight. It's much safer. You can get down on your hands and knees, go under the bed, see if there's anything there, get into the nooks and crannies, and not be afraid that you're gonna cause a fire. The Gemara Pesachim says on Davav that someone who's in his home within 30 days of the Yom Tov is mechuyev in bedikas chametz, even though the Mishnah says that bedikas chametz is the night of the 14th, that's the Ikar Takana B'dikas Chametz. But we hold Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag, Sholem V'Dorshim B'Hilchas Achag, which means that Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag is connected already to the Chag. That's why you have to be Sholem V'Dorsh B'Hilchas Achag. You have to start talking about the Yom Tov. It's connected. So if that Zman is connected, then the Chiyuv of B'dikas Chametz is Chal Tok Shloshim Yom. To someone who leaves his home Purim time, right? Before Purim, so 30 days before the Yom Tov is not there, then you have to have a chiyuv of bedikas chametz. But within the 30 days, then we're afraid that maybe he'll stay home, even if he's planning on leaving. Right? He's planning on leaving, but there's a concern. Maybe he won't leave. Maybe he'll change his mind. Whatever. The chiyuv of bedikas chametz is chal tov shloshim yom. But the Tosefta, the famous comment of the Tosefta, says that if someone wants to, he can sell his chametz to a guy. Can sell his chametz to a guy. So there is a chiyuv of bedikas chametz, but on the other hand, the Tosefta says there's a kula that if you sell your chametz to the guy, then there's no problem. And this is what people do. Bizman Azev, it's very common to sell the chametz to the guy. We don't deal with the guy per se, but rather we use the rav as a shliach. We use a rabbi. We find the rav of a kahila, the rav in the yeshiva, to sell the chametz to the guy. We're not selling the chametz to the rav. People are confused that since we do kinyonim with the rav, right, he'll give you a yarmulke or something to pick up, or a pen to pick up to do a kinyan chalipin. The Gemara Bav Metzia talks about konin b'kli ava b'shein bo shava pruta, right? Kinyan chalipin. So that's what you're doing with the rav. But what does that sound like? What am I doing a kinyan for? He's just my shliach. He has to do a kinyan with the guy. And he does lots of kinyan. He does a kinyan chalipin, and he'll do a kinyan kesef, and he'll do a kinyan handshlag. He'll do the handshake, and he'll do a lot of different kinyan with the guy. But what do I have to do a kinyan with the rav? The answer is you don't really have to do a kinyan with the rav. It's just mechiras chametz is such a haroma. It's it's a legal fiction. People sell the chametz, but they're expecting to get it back. Now, technically, if the guy decides to keep it, you won't get it back. But we engineer the situation in such a way that the guy is not going to want to keep the chametz. You know, he can't keep a little bit. If he keeps a little bit, he's got to keep all of it. If he keeps all of it, that's going to cost him a lot of money. So he's very much disinclined, right, to keep the chametz. So we don't expect that he's going to keep the chametz. He could. It is a mechira. It's a mechira gemura. But we don't expect it. So it's just a harama. So since it's harama ba'alma, so we're afraid people aren't going to take it seriously. So that's why we do a kinyan with the rav, so that we really are saying, Belev Shalem, Bigmir is Das, we want the Rav to sell our chametz. We're not selling the chametz to the Rav, we're just making him a shliach. And normally you don't have to do a kinyan to make a shliach. You can just appoint him verbally. But we make the kinyan just liyesis se'es to make it more serious. So if you can't do it, if you can't make the Rav a shliach face to face, so that you'll be able to do a kinyan chalipin, it's okay, you could do it on the telephone also. If you do it on the telephone, just say, I hereby am making you a shliach, belev shalem. Use those words. I'm doing it belev shalem. So that's in place of the kinyan chalipin. During COVID, that's what everyone did. We did it on Zoom, or did it on the telephone. Zoom is the same. Zoom is even better than the telephone. You see each other, right? But the key is the dibur. You can't do a kinyan chalipin over Zoom either. Zoom can do lots of things, but you can't put your hand into the, you know, into the screen. So that's not going to work. But you can appoint the Rav as a shliach in the screen. As long as you say it's Belev Shalem, so then you're accomplishing the same thing as the Kinyan Chalipin. The only machlokes, minhagim, the only dispute of minhagim is whether the Mechiras Chametz applies even to Chametz Goma, to what we call Chametz Be'en. The Chametz that you can see with the eye, like Cheerios, like bread, something like that, as opposed to Tarovas Chametz. Does the Mechira only apply to Tarovas Chametz, or can it even apply to Chametz Be'en? That's a further question. How much do you want to be Mekel? So the truth is, most people are Mekel to sell Chametz Be'en, because schnapps is Chametz Be'en, right? It's steeped. Schnapps is steeped in hops, or whatever grain alcohol, whatever grain you're making the alcohol from, right? So it's steeped. So that's mamish Chametz Be'en. And people are makel to sell schnapps because it's very expensive. So that's the hefse. That's the whole point of the Tosefta, that you're afraid. Oh, you want to sell to the guy. Yeah. You want to sell to the guy, so then you're not going to be over. But you're afraid that it's very expensive, so you want to be able to buy it back from the guy. Right? You want to be able to buy it back. So most people are makel for the schnapps. I think they say the Rav was not Megal. The Rav used to spill out his schnapps. He didn't sell it to the guy. Some people do that. But if you have a lot of schnapps, it's a lot to spill. It's a lot of money to waste. I think a lot of people are Megal when it comes to schnapps. But other things are not so expensive. It's not a Hefzid Meruba. So there's a dispute whether you should sell your cereals or not. Some people are Machmer not to sell the cereals or the macaroni. Or, you know, they'll be Machmer not to sell Chametz Gom or Chametz Be'en. So you could give it a matana to someone who does sell his chametz ben. That's fine. You know, if a person's in-laws sell chametz ben, so they can give it to their in-laws. But don't take it back after Pesach. That's mamash a joke, right? If they're just going to hold it for you, so then they don't really have in mind to sell it. If you give it to them, don't take it back, because it has to be real. If it's not a real mechira, then I wouldn't eat that cereal after Pesach. If it's a real matana that you're giving it to the in-laws, so then the in-laws can sell it. If the in-laws don't want to eat it, they can throw it out afterwards. But you shouldn't take it back. If when you go to the in-laws you want to have that cereal, that's okay. Then you're eating by the in-laws, right? That's the goad. That's the carrot to get you to come. So yes, yeah, so that's permissible, because you're eating in their house. But to take it back to your own house, the whole matan is really a joke thing. Okay. What's the din if a person is not going to be home for Pesach? So does he have to do bedikas chametz, or can he sell? Can he sublease his entire home or his apartment? So let's say a person is leaving the apartment on the 14th, right? He's going to go somewhere, going to a hotel, going to his in-laws, to his parents, etc. Right? Does he have to be bodek the previous night? So the previous night he was there. He owned the apartment, or he was renting the apartment. Right? We assume that Tzedikas Chametz is a chovas ha-socher, not the chov of the balabais, it's a chovas ha-socher. The person who's renting has to do Tzedikas Chametz. So he's renting, and he's there the night of the 14th. He's leaving the next day. So is there a chiyuv to do bedikas chametz or not? So the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav quotes Machlokes HaPoskim about this. Some hold that there's a chiyuv to do bedika because the night of the 14th, you're there. Right? Since you're there at the time when the chiyuv bedika applies, so then you're chayiv to do the bedika. Even if you're gonna leave the apartment later. Let's say you're going to sell the apartment to the guy. It doesn't matter. You're chayiv to do bedika now because you're here. You're here now. And the chiyuv bedika is chal in the here and now. But others disagree. Others claim that the mechira itself is a kiyum of tashbisu and bir chametz. Just like if you do bedikas chametz, right? So you put out the 10 pieces of bread. Then you collect 10 pieces. What do you do with them? You destroy them the night of the 14th? No, you put them in a paper bag. Right? Not plastic. You put it in a paper bag. And then you go to sleep. And you're going to do bir chametz the next day. So what gives you the right to do that? You're going to be mevar the chametz the next day. So it's the same thing. If I'm going to sell the whole apartment the next day, so I'm mekayim bir chametz by selling it to the guy. I'm mekayim not bir chametz, but tashbisu. I'm destroying the chametz. I'm taking it out of my rishus by giving it to the guy. So what's the problem? What's the problem? I shouldn't have to do a bedika. Bedika is only a hachana for bir, but if I'm mekayim tashbisu by selling it to the guy, so I don't have to do bedika the previous night because it's all waiting to be fulfilled the next day when I sell it to the guy. That's the position of the Rush. The Rush assumes that the Mechira is a Kiyum and Tashbisu and Beer. It's no worse than the Chametz that you're leaving over. So he says that you don't have to do Bedika then. But others disagree. He says, Machlokas HaPoskim had a Paskim. If a person is leaving his apartment, is going to sublease the apartment on the 14th, is he Chayav to do Bedika the night of the 14th? So the Mishnah Berurah says, technically speaking, those that want to be Mekel, they're going to sell the whole apartment. When they go to the Rav to arrange the Mechiras Chametz, so the Rav says, well, you're going to be home or not? So he says, I'm not going to be home. So if you're not going to be home, so the Rav might say, okay, we don't have to specify the Chametz that you have and the places in the apartment. Just write your whole premises that you're subleasing, you're renting the whole premises to the guy, and that's it. But just one second. If that Mechira is on your Dalid, if it's on Erev Pesach, so then is there a Chavos Bedika the night of the 14th, so according to some poskim, there's no chavas bedika then at all. His makayim is tashbisu by selling it to the guy. So those who want to be mekel for that shita, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's okay, you can be mekel, there is a shita and poskim like that. But it's better, says the Mishnah Berurah, to be machmer for the other shita, that if one is going away, then you should try to sublease the apartment on the 13th. Sublease the apartment before the night of the 14th, before the ikar chiyuv bedikas chametz is chal, and then you won't be chayiv in bedikas chametz. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says it's better to do. And most Rabbanim are going to do a Mechira on the 14th and a Mechira on the 13th because there are people who are in different time zones, people in Eretz Yisrael and other places. You can't do the Mechira on the 14th at 10 o'clock in the morning because for some people it's after the Zman of the Yisra Chomets. So they have to do an earlier Mechira anyway. So they're going to do a Mechira Yud Gimel. So just join that Mechira. If you want, you can join that Mechira on the 13th and then one will be potter from Bedikas Chomets. But the Chasam Sofer has a third shita. I'll get to your question in a moment. Chasam Sofer sort of has like a pshara. Chasam Sofer says, Me'ikar Adin, technically speaking, if you're selling the home on the 14th, you're really not chayv in bedika. There's no chovas habayis to do bedika. Right? The bias doesn't have to be checked because you yotzi tashbisu that way. But says the Chasam Sofer, but really there are two chiyuvim in bedikas chametz. There's a chovas habayis and there's a chovas hagavra too. There's a chiyav on the gavra to be bodek chametz. If he is in a makom shemachnisim bo chametz toch shloshim yom kodem lachad, there's a chiyav on that individual to do bedikas chametz. That you're not going to be yotzei if you sell the home because you didn't do the bedika. You didn't do a bedikas chametz. So zog dechasam sofer, it's a good idea even if you're going to sublease your whole apartment, leave over a small area. Leave over a small area that you can be mekayim yechovas bedika yechovas hagavra of bedikas chametz. That's the chumrah of the Chasam Sofer. So some do this. Some sublease the apartment on the 13th. They're part of the Mechira Yud Gimel. But they tell the Rav, we want to leave this small room, right? Leave an easy room to be bothered. Like, don't leave the kitchen. That's not a smart thing, but it takes a long time to check. But you leave one of the areas. It doesn't take such a long time to check. So you'll be Yotzi Yechavas Bedika in that area, Yechavas Hagavra. The rest of the apartment you'll be able to sell, and then you won't have to do Bedikas Chametz on the rest of the apartment. Yes.
If they close the dorms 2 days before Pesach, does that mean I don't have to do Bedikah?
So if they close the dorms, we're going to talk about that. Let's say you're going to leave your apartment or leave your dormitory before the night of the 14th. We'll get to it in a moment. Okay. L'chatchila, a person should be bodek the last night that he's in his home. If he's leaving before the 14th, this is mamash your question is. Person should leave, if a person's going to be there the night of the 14th, then there's a chovas bedika. We said tok shloshim yom, there's also a chovas bedika. But let's say I'm leaving before that time, before the night of the 14th. I'm going away, I'm flying home, and I'm leaving days before. Certainly this year, many people are going to leave before Shabbos. It's 3 or 4 days before. So what do you do? So the halacha is that a person is supposed to be bodek the last night that he's there. Why the last night? Because we say bedikas chametz is always supposed to be at night. Chazal say that if you have a ner or you have a flashlight that you're looking, the light is focused. When it's dark outside, you can see better. We can't really understand that. We feel like our fluorescent. Who has a fluorescent? Our LED lights and it's much better. But Chazal say it's not true. It's just somehow. We can see some things with the LEDs, but apparently you can see much more clearly into the Chorim Mestokim with a candle or with a flashlight. So it's better to be bodek at night. That's the Takana Drabban, to be bodek at night. So that's what you should do. You should be bodek the last night that you're in the dormitory, the last night that you're in your apartment. Let's say a person forgot to be bodek at night. The Mishnah Berurah says you can be bodek b'di'evet by day too. Mishnah Berurah in Tav Lamed Vav in Sifkat and Gimel says b'di'evet, you can be bodek by day. Supposed to do it at night, but you can be mekayim the takanas chachamim. But the eved, you'll do the best you can. You can be bodek by day. Let's say a person leaves his apartment, but someone's going to stay in the apartment the whole yom tov. It's very common, right? Let's say a person leaves his home. He's going away to Florida. Let's say, but his next door neighbor has kids coming for yom tov, and they need an extra place for the kids to stay. So they beg their neighbor, could my kids stay by you? You don't have to check for chametz. It's not a problem. My kids are just going to stay over there. It's not so simple. Right? If someone is staying in your house or in your apartment, there is a chovas bedika. There might not be a chovas bedika for you, but there's a chovas bedika for the person staying there. It's a chovas bedika for one or the other. But there's certainly a chovas bedika. I would say there's even more of a chovas bedika for the people staying there. Because we assume that bedikas chametz is a chiyav on the socher, the person who's living there. Person who's living there. Certainly, if bedikas chametz is because we're afraid you might come to eat the chametz, so it's really chal on the person who's there who might see the chametz. If I'm, you know, away somewhere in some distant...
exotic.
I'm sorry?
Somewhere exotic.
Somewhere exotic.
Exotic.
Somewhere exotic, right. Like I'm going to Brooklyn or something, you know. Right? I'm going to somewhere exotic, going away for Yom Tov, right, exactly. So I'm not going to eat the chametz, but the person coming in there is going to eat the chametz. Someone is certainly chayev in bedika. That's a very important thing to keep in mind, because people have this tendency of feeling like, if I'm not going to be home, I don't have to do a bedikas chametz. Let the people stay there. They're not going to eat my chametz, right? You don't know. They have kids. People see chametz. They forget themselves. There's a chiyuv bedika on someone. So I'm not saying that you can't allow someone to have guests staying at your home, but just realize that someone has to do a bedika. Someone will have to do a bedika in order to allow them to stay there. Yes, Avi.
It's not machlokes about who's chayav in bedika between Tosfos.
It's a gemara on Daf Dalet in Psochem. It's chovas hasocher. It's not chovas balabais. So if I own the home, I'm not chayav. If someone else is staying there, so he's chayav. The reason why this is a shaila is because he's not really socher. He's not renting. So because he's not renting, he doesn't have a kinyan on the place. So therefore, it might be different. But either way, someone is chayav in a bedika. Yes?
You said we should do it on the last night that you're in the apartment. Mm-hmm. Is it the last night that you're fully there, that you're sleeping there? The last night, I mean, once it becomes Laila, but you're going to leave, let's say, at 9:30 at night, you should do it that night or the night before that?
No, you could do it then. It's not a din that you have to sleep there. It's not like mezuzah. You know, we say that yechiv and mezuzah as a socher is only chal the first night that you're actually, you know, sleeping in. The point is that you have to do it. If you have to do it at night, so you have to choose a night. So if you're leaving by day, you're not going to be able to do it the next night. But if you leave, let's say you're leaving 11 o'clock at night, so you do the vidika beforehand. It's totally fine. Okay, if a person is selling the apartment to a guy, some ask a question: am I allowed to go back in? Let's say there are actually two permutations of this question. Let's say a person is selling the apartment to the guy. He's going to be leaving on the 14th, right? He's there the night of the 13th, but he's selling the apartment to the guy. So let's say he wants to be machmir for the Mishnah Berurah. He's going to sell it on the 13th. Be part of the material Yud Gimel to make sure that he's not chayav b'dikas chametz. And even, let's say he'll be machmir for the Chasam Sofer, and he'll be, you know, he'll leave over a spot in his apartment. Good, shkar. Very, very good. So is he allowed to sleep there? Let's say he left the dining room. Right? The dining room area, there's just a table and chairs or whatever. He'll take the chairs out, even if he doesn't want to clean the chairs. Just a table, right? So that's it. So he'll be able to be bodek, and that's fine. But he's selling the bedroom. He doesn't want to check the bedroom, but check under the beds and check in all of the drawers and everything, right? A person has kids. The kids can put chametz anywhere, right? Can put them in your drawers, their drawers. They can put them, you know, put them anywhere. Put Cheerios anywhere. So you want to keep only a very open area to be bodek. So you're not interested in being bodek the bedroom. So you're selling the bedroom, you're subleasing the bedroom, so you're allowed to sleep in the bedroom that night. So many poskim assume that the night before, it's understood that when the guy is buying the chametz, even on the 13th, but he's going to let you stay for that night. That's okay. Because there's no issa chametz that's coming. You got to leave the apartment before the issa chametz happens. You're selling the apartment beforehand, so the guy owns it, but he's gonna let you stay there for that night. Many poskim assume that that's okay. Some poskim hold not like that. Some poskim hold if you're gonna have it sold, you gotta be out of the apartment before it's sold, which really is the more mustaber shita. Because if not, then the whole sale is sort of strange. I'm subleasing it to the guy, and yet I'm staying in his apartment. It's sort of like funny. But poskim say that that's okay. What's the din of the following scenario? Let's say a person subleases the apartment, and now the zman of Issa Chametz has been chal. Issa Chametz kores after Chatzos, you know, on the 14th, the Issa Darais of Chametz has already been chal. And then you go to your in-laws or your parents for the first days, but you want to flip in the middle. Right? You go to one side the first days, then on Chol HaMoed, you're going to transfer to the other side, right? So, but you don't want to take all your clothes for the whole Yom Tov. It's a lot to carry. So very often, married couples want to go home in the middle. You know, they're in Washington Heights, if the in-laws live in one place. The in-laws live, I don't know, in Teaneck, and the parents live in the Five Towns. Just to give an example, right? I'm not choosing any communities over here, right? So, you know, what's between Teaneck and the Five Towns? Washington Heights, of course, right? So it's very easy just to stop up in Washington Heights. You'll put your dirty laundry down. You'll take your other suit, your other dresses and everything. It's very easy. Yeah, but the problem is, but that apartment doesn't belong to you right now. It's being subleased to the guy. So is it permissible to go and take your clothing in the middle? This is a shiloh that comes up mamish every single year. So it depends. Rabbi Willig tells people that you can do that because he tells the guy specifically that he wants to allow people to go back into their apartments midway to get whatever clothing they have to get. It's important to keep in mind that if you're going to go back to the apartment, you have to mark off the kitchen, mark off the places where there are chametz so that you're not going to walk into the kitchen. It is your apartment, so and it has a lot of chametz that used to belong to you. So who knows, you could lose yourself. It's always best to walk straight into the bedroom, get what you need, and get out. Just, you know, try to minimize the amount of time you're there so that you're not going to be mevatel the whole mechira. But technically speaking, Rabbi Willig holds that it's permissible to go. You really should ask the Rav that you're selling chametz with. Make sure from the Rav that you're able to do that. If the Rav says no, then no is no. And you have to take all of your clothes at the beginning. Because if you don't, then you're really calling the whole mechira into question. And that would not be a good thing. Yeah.
Do you make a bracha on the bedika that you do in your dorm room?
We're going to talk about that in a moment. Okay, if there are two roommates, let's say, right, and one is leaving earlier, the other one is staying, and maybe the other one is still eating chametz, so like, what do you do? Let's say you're living in an apartment, and each one has their own room. So what do you do? So you certainly can be bodek your bedroom. If you have multiple bedrooms, but then there's a common area, so you can be bodek your bedroom. And really, it's the achrayus of the roommate who's there last to be bodek the common area. Now, if he wants you to help him clean up, you can clean up the chametz, and then he'll be careful not to spread the chametz around. But the person who's there last is the one really who should be bodek. Because if you're bodek first, and then he's still there using the area with chametz, then your bedikas chametz was sort of meaningless. So the last person who's there is the one who should be bodek. Some ask, how can I sublease my apartment to the guy? But it says in my contract that I'm not allowed to sublease. So to that, Rabbi Willig said that it's permissible. It's a religious sublease. That's not included in the contract. So that's permissible. If you're just doing it religiously, that's not a problem with the schiras. It's important to keep in mind that if a person is leaving his home for all of Pesach and he's subleasing the entire apartment to the guy has to have access to the apartment. He doesn't have access, so what kind of machir is this? The whole machir is that you're selling the chametz to the guy, and now the chametz belongs to the guy. So it belongs to the guy, but he has no access to the chametz, so then it's sort of a meaningless sale. So you got to leave some kind of mechanism for the guy to get there. You leave a cell phone number. If you have a Shabbos lock, that's great. You can leave the combination with the Rav. So the Rav doesn't have to give the combinations to the guy. The combinations can stay with the Rav, and then you can put it in an envelope, you know, in a small envelope. And if the guy wants to, hopefully he won't, but if the guy wants to, then the Rav will break the envelope open and he'll tell him what the combination is. So leave a combination, or you can leave a cell phone. It used to be that everyone who would go away for Yom Tov would leave the key by the Rav. That's why very often Rabbanu have like a whole stash of keys, because people don't pick up the keys after Yom Tov. Now it's not an issue. Most people have like some kind of Shabbos lock or something. But I guess in apartment buildings, they still only have the key. So pick up the key from the Rav, but you should leave the key by the Rav so that the guy has access to the apartment. Uh-huh. Yes?
How does leaving a cell phone number help if you're not going to be on your phone
over Yom Tov? Over Yom Tov, right. So, okay. At least there'll be a zman that if the guy wants the chametz, he'll be able to get it. It is accessible. It's not going to help for Yom Tov. The key is certainly better. But a cell phone number is somewhat helpful too. Yes?
Just, you mentioned about selling your apartment on the 13th to Yotir Bidika.
Yeah.
But this room, the 13th, is on Shabbos. So I'll give the Mechir Bichal on Shabbos.
If the 13th is on Shabbos?
I think that's this year.
No, this year the 13th is on Sunday, right? Because I think the Seder night is Monday night, right? So the 13th is Sunday, so it'll still work. The 13th is on Shabbos. Can the 13th be on Shabbos?
It can't be on Shabbos.
I don't think it can be on Shabbos, yeah. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay. What? Yes.
Once building is a super, can they give that up with the number of the super to open the part versus leaving?
Yeah,
the
I think so. Give the number of the super to the Rav. They don't have to give the number of the super to the guy. Give it to the Rav. The Rav is the point of access for the guy. So the guy has to come to the Rav in order to get the chametz. Yeah.
Regarding the discussion of having guests stay over at a neighbor's house, what happens if the neighbor is not Jewish? Do you have to have like bidika there, the area there?
The neighbor is not going to be there? Or
the neighbor is there.
The neighbor is there, and the neighbor is non-Jewish. I don't think you have to do bidika because again, you're not going to eat the chametz of the neighbor. You're not going to be going into the... If the neighbor is there, it's very unlikely you're going to go into the kitchen. You're just going to go into your spot. I'm talking about a situation where there's no one else there. If there's no one else there, then it's much more likely that you'll come to eat. But if the neighbor is there, is there really a chashash that you'll eat his food? First of all, there's no chashash anyway. It's not going to be kosher, so... I think that's okay. Yes?
There's a mechira. If there's a couple of roommates and they each have their own chametz, so should you do one big mechira? Each roommate sell their chametz individually?
Each roommate has to sell his chametz, but what you could do is one can make the other one a shliach to sell his chametz, just like the Rav, right? If it's easier for one of the roommates to sell the chametz for the whole room, so then he just has to... you can, you know, one of the roommates can acquire the chametz of the other roommate. It's probably too complicated. He's going to make a shliach and then make another shliach. You probably should just, give it b'matana to the roommate. Give b'matana all the chametz to the roommate, then one roommate will go to the Rav and he'll make the Rav a shliach to sell his chametz. Okay. The question was asked before if you have to make a bracha. So the answer is that we only make a bracha on a bedikas chametz the night of the 14th, when you're fulfilling the ikar takana bedikas chametz. If you bodek within 30 days before the night of the 14th, there's no bracha on the bedika. And for the same reason, we don't put out the 10 pieces of bread. Right? One of the reasons that we put out the 10 pieces is to make sure that you'll find something. If not, it's dacha bracha, bracha levatola, or chashash of a bracha levatola. Maybe the bedikah itself is not makes it not a bracha levatola. But if you're not making a bracha, so there's no chashash of a bracha levatola, so then you don't have to put out the 10 pieces of bread. Some of the chumrah that they sell liquid forms of grain alcohol as well. Some of the mouthwashes and other medicines. So there are liquid forms of alcohol. So many are makbid to sell these liquid forms of alcohol as well, even though they're not really edible in the current state. But there's a chumrah. Moshe has a chumrah that since it's possible, those in the know are able to change the alcohol, to change the denatured alcohol into alcohol that one can drink. So since there's the potential to change it back into edible, into drinkable alcohol, so maybe the Issa Chomet applies to that as well. It's a chumr. It's a chumr. So there are those that will take the toiletries. There are different lists that they have of what toiletries are kosher l'Pesach, that they don't have the alcohol that's a problem, which are not. So some take the toiletries and they sell those. Anything that's made out of a cream, anything that's a solid form or a cream, there's no need to sell, because that's not roi l'achilas kalef, and you can't turn that back from the denatured form into the regular form. So that doesn't have to be sold. But those liquids, those mouthwashes and other things that are in a liquid form, some are machmer to sell that as well. We don't sell our pots. A pot that has a bli of chametz in it doesn't have to be sold. In fact, you should be very careful not to sell your pots, because if you sell the pot, then there's a shayla of tevilas kalim after Yom Tov. You should be very careful. Don't sell the pots. Some people sell the chametz in the housing of a mixer or something like that. Okay, so that's chametz be'en. That's not a bli. But a bli in the pot does not have to be sold. And be careful not to sell the pots. Let's say a person is going away for Yom Tov. He wants to sell his whole apartment. He's going away. It could be by his in-laws. It could be in a hotel. So what does he do? Where does he do bedikas chametz? He could do bedikas chametz in his own apartment. He could. If he wants to, he could sell his entire apartment. If he's going to be somewhere else the night of the 14th, he could do bedikas chametz the night of the 14th where he is. So if he goes to his in-laws, let's say, right? Or if he goes home, if he goes to his parents. So he has his own room. So technically speaking, even according to the Chasam Sofer, you could sublease the entire apartment. And then when you get home, you can sell. I'm sorry, when you get home, you'll be bodek in your room. Your father will make the bracha, let's say. Someone will make the bracha. And they'll start the bedikah in the regular home and all the other places, all the common areas. You'll be bodek, your own bedroom. So that's a makom shemachnisim bo chametz. So even if they cleaned out that room before Pesach, but there was a chi of bedikah, the Ramah points out that even if you clean out the room, but if it was a makom shemachnisim bo chametz, there is a chi of bedikah to make sure that the cleaning was done properly. So if a person is going home, then definitely he can sublease his entire apartment if he wants. He can go home and he can fulfill the mitzvah bedikas chametz in his room. In his room. If he goes to his in-laws home, the same thing should hold true. If it goes to a hotel, so that's a little bit more complicated, because the hotel is a makom she'ein machnisim chametz. They had a chiyuv to clean up the hotel completely before the people come. So we can assume that it's muhsak, it's a makom she'ein machnisim chametz. So is there really a chiyuv when you come to this place, right? If you buy a makom that's muhsak, that's ein machnisim chametz, so you don't really have a chiyuv bedikas chametz there. So could you be yotzi a chiyuv bedikas chametz the night of the 14th there in the hotel? So I believe Rabbi Willig holds that if you're in the hotel for a few days beforehand and you bring chametz in, even if you're careful with the chametz, but once you bring chametz into your area, then you are allowed to do bedikas chametz, kedas or kedim, with a bracha in that area, because there really is a chiyuv bedikah. But if you come Erev Pesach, you come like right before Yom Tov, or you come, I don't know, the day of the 13th, you know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and bedikas chametz is in 2 hours. So if it's a makom she'ein machnisim bo chametz, it's not so simple that you can do a bedika with a bracha in that place. So that's the story. If you go away and you come very close to the time of the Gatschametz, then probably you should do Bedika, but do it without a bracha, because it's not clear that there really is a chiyuv, since it's a makom shem achnisim bochametz. If a person is still in their home the night of the 14th, even if they're going away for Yom Tov, so then they can do a Bedika with a bracha, because it's the night of the 14th. So the night of the 14th, even if you're doing a Bedika only on a part of your home, let's say you're renting most of the home, you're doing a Bedika only on a part of the home, that you could do with a bracha, as long as it's the night of the 14th. Okay. Everyone should be zocha to be bodek for the chametz properly. There's so much more to talk about in Hilchos Chametz and Hilchos Pesach in general, but we'll leave it for a different time. Everyone should be zocha to prepare ourselves properly for the Yom Tov. We should all have a chag kosher.
Is there
any
individual selling chametz? What? Why have the individual selling chametz by door? My father is someone who is
if you make your father your shliach, you assume that the chametz in your dorma is owned by you. I assume. If it's owned by your father, then he can sell it. But I simply assume that the money that your parents give you to buy whatever food you're going to buy here, it's your money.
So I can make my shliach.
Yeah, you can make your father your shliach.
And if I leave the dorms tonight, I don't have to
do that. You leave the dorms?
I'm not there Wednesday night this week.
Oh, change your price based on eating it?
Yeah, we don't have to be the biggest guy.
Without a problem.